background in class, because I want to answer your questions and speak about the topics which you would like to get answered. The obligation of every individual Jew is, on an individual level, to ask precisely, to evaluate precisely in detail, as the Ramchal expresses himself in Silas Yeshorim, Ma chayvosi ba'elomi. What is my duty? What is my responsibility? What is the mission in my life? Chayvosi would be rather my mission. And this has to be hammered into us to such an extent that although feelings may not agree with it, and we have human feelings, which is nature, but the more we take in this information and we bring it down to our feelings, the more we start living it, and then little by little, we don't have to fight and to confront our feelings, but our feelings gives way. In other words, we start feeling something else. We start feeling the positive role in life. We have to know that every individual Jew has a unique individual mission in this world. And we come down, and Hashem sets us up and gives us all the ingredients which is needed for my mission. Nobody gets something which is not fitting his mission. And nobody else's possession and havings could help my mission, and I can't help somebody else. And this is, once I explained it, and I will explain it again, and forgive me if I repeat myself, but this is one of the most beautiful messages which we see, that the 10th commandments, of the 10 commandments, the 10th is Lo Yisachmot. Don't covet. Don't be jealous. Don't envy. Don't envy the family of the house of the person, the family of somebody else, anything which somebody else has. Never, never envy. Never covet. And we explained that, after all, the 10 commandments are only 10 out of 613. They're 10 mitzvahs out of 613 mitzvahs. And if we would have been given the choice to pick 10 out of the 613 in order to give a certain sample line for the Torah, an example of the Torah, so we would pick in all kinds of mitzvahs. Some of them we would put in ourselves, it's understood, Benoich Hashem Elokecho, that's absolutely the foundation of Judaism, Le'iloch Elohim Acherim, Zuchar Yisrael Meshabbos, Kabbal Yisavicho, Le'sir Tzach, Le'sinos, it's understood, those are very fundamental basic things. But who of us would ever put in the Seder Sadibes, Le'sachmoit, don't be jealous. I mean, if you're from a Ukraine, Lashon Hara, this is much more popular than Le'sachmoit. Le'sachmoit should come into the Ten Commandments. And by the way, Le'sachmoit is non-productive, it's childish, it's something which is there without control almost. You can't control yourself, you were born, a person is born jealous. A person is hungry, sees other person eats, you're jealous, you can't help it. A person sees somebody strolling with a baby carriage, and you're dying for a child, you're jealous, you can't help it, what can you do? So how could the Torah Kodem Kol come into Lo Yisachmoit? Don't be jealous. I mean, you made me so, you gave me feelings, it's human needs, and I see my sister has it, my neighbor has it, and the Italian across the street has it, everyone has it, as Chana put it beautifully in the Tefillah, Hashem Tzavoko, is you Hashem, you think everyone you gave, and for me you couldn't, everyone you took care, and for me you couldn't, you left me out. So first of all, it's a helpless thing, so how does Hashem Bechlal command that? Second, and if already I'm jealous, is it so terrible that this should belong in the Ten Commandments? It should belong somewhere else, behind it, somewhere else. And it's not enough that Hashem put it into the Ten Commandments, but Hashem put it to the tenth. And we have a principle, a Asir Yeh Kodesh, every tenth is the holiest. The tenth is inclusive of the previous nine. In numbers, the Maral explains it also, so that, you know, there's no more detailed number as nine. The tenth takes all nine plus himself, inclusive into one. It's a yud, a little dot. And therefore we go 10, and then starts 11, 12, then goes 20. There's no more numbers than 9. There's 9 is Proteus, there's only individual numbers only up to 9. And the 10th is back to 1. It's all incorporating the previous 9. So it means, Everyone is one. But when it comes to Sachmoid, that's supposed to be the key which incorporates all previous nine. That's the holiest. It means if God forbid you fail in the tenth, you fail in all previous nine. And if you made it in the tenth, you made it in all previous nine. And if you made it in all ten, you made it in Kol HaTorah Kula. Because the tenth is really the foundation of the whole Torah. The knowing the Seder Sadivris is all inclusive, all Tariag Mitzvahs. And out of the tenth, Leisachmoid, is the final, I would say, the spitz of the pyramid. The whole structure goes like a pyramid, the spitz is Leisachmoid. That's how it comes out. Question is how? And the answer is, we have to work on ourselves to know our role and to appreciate our existence in this world, that we are unique individuals, and the whole world has been created for me. Everything which exists in the world has been made for me. And I'm the tachlis, I'm the person, b'shvil nivra'olam. We explained it already many times again, but this is Torah. As many times we explain it, our feelings always schlep it away. It makes us forget. So let's repeat again. Lama nivra adam echidu, v'akosh bochum created only one man, Adam. All mankind, all creation was created in multiples, except man. The tachlis was created only one. The answer is, Shechayv Adam Loimer, a person has to say, B'shvil Nivroilam. I'm the one man today, and for me, just like Adam Rishon was one man, and he had no competitor. And he was never jealous of anyone, because there was nobody who to be jealous. You see, the minute he had two brothers, Cain and Hevel, Cain and Hevel, since they considered themselves as duplicates, they already were jealous and wanted to kill the other, because he had to remain one. Cain had to kill Hevel, because you're taking something away. But if Cain would have understood he's just as an individual as his father, all to Hevel is, that Hevel is just as individual as Adam, there's no point of would have been jealous. The minute a man forgets that he's a unique individual just like Adam was, and just like Adam was an individual, also saw the whole world surrounding him, he saw himself as an individual, so Chayv Adam Loimer, and this we talk on us now, right this moment, every man of us, every one of us sitting here has to say, Mishvili, because of me, I'm the central focal, central point of creation. Mishvili, because of me, Nivra, the whole world has been created. And there's no point, just like Adam couldn't be jealous at nobody, I can't be jealous at nobody. Everything which is in the world is because of me. Maybe some of them are here to tempt me that maybe I should be jealous or not, and it doesn't matter. But everyone is here to service me, my function, anyone I'm coming in contact. And explaining it a little bit in a deeper way, we know that today we don't make an issue of donkeys and of monkeys and of horses and of cows and of sheep and of chickens. They have no names, they have no identity, they have no graves, and they have no lives, because they're all one. As Yankov said, Vehili Shor v'chamor, had an ox and had a donkey. Says Chazal Tev, one yet, there are many. Says Harbe Shorim Nikroim Shor, many cows, oxes is called one ox, because they're all the same. They all function the same, they all accomplish the same, all do the same thing. There's no individuality there. By man, every man is a total individual. And as the scientist was sitting as gave a lecture, and I said, a man has a unique fingerprint, a unique look, unique smell, unique thinking. And the Chazal tells, commercial parts of in the same shavas, just like the faces are not alike, so the mind is not alike, our looks are not alike, the values are not alike. Every person has a different taste, has a different formation, and everything has different chemistry. Although we look alike, but and everyone has a certain unique, and therefore, for all mankind, there's a respect for a human being. A man is dying, burying him, or put him at Savior, put his name, put his birth, and date it. You make a memory, this man existed. Not only any man, a little baby, any child has it. Why? Because there's an individuality in a person that nobody represents, nobody could duplicate that individuality, and therefore there was only one man like that, and that's it, it's gone. That has to be remembered. That means that we have a certain individual presence to ourselves, and therefore, when a little baby is born, nobody knows the future. I almost say there was once born a nice little baby in Europe, we called him Adolf, and he grew up in Adolf Hitler. Would anyone believe in the wildest dream that Adolf Hitler going to come out of this little baby? And the other day, another little child was born, having a little father, so it's like little Moshe, little grew up in a Moshe Rabbeinu, or a Chazonish. Would anyone figure out? So when a baby comes into the world, nobody knows where his destiny is, because we are so unique and so special. And this is what Chazal say. Chaybol and Mishvili and Yivra Oilem, we are all individuals, because Adam Arishon was one unique individual, and everyone is reproducing himself. So the donkey was one donkey out of a million. So when he gave birth to other donkey, it came a new donkey, one in a million. But when Adam was one unique single individual, so when Adam gave birth to a baby, that baby was a unique individual. And that baby that gave birth to others, there was unique individuals. And that's what Chazal say. Lomo nivra Adam echidi, why man was created individual? Shechayv Adam loymer, a man has to say to himself, and I share it with you, I asked once many Tamil Chachomim, what does mean chayv Adam, a man has to say? When does he have to say it? 3 times a day, 100 times a day? When? The Gemara does, the Chazal doesn't say when he has to say it. It says chayv Adam, a man has to say. When does he have to say it? When? Does anyone remember? When do you have to say that? Bishvili, the world has been created for me. When do you have to say? You have to take a placard and go on the street. The world has been created for me. The answer is, every time when you feel down, every time when you feel unaccomplished, every time when you feel unworthy, every time when you feel you don't know why you're existing, you're different than everyone else, you're not with everyone else, unique, you're never, people have pity at you or you pity at yourself, every time when you feel this type of a feelings, chayv Adam lo, you have to tell to yourself, Bishvili Nivram, the whole world has been created for me, and everything is given to me, which I, to my mission, to my uniqueness, which I have to deliver, this is exactly what I got. And somebody else's possession, and somebody else's situation, and somebody else's good feelings will no way help me at all. I'm a unique individual, and nobody else's possession could help me. And therefore, Hashem created one man. Hashem created one Avraham Avinu. He didn't create. One man came forward. Avraham Echot Avraham. And that one Avraham made the whole Am Yisrael. And every one of us is that individual. That every one of us is that Adam Rishon which Hashem created. And every one of us is the one who volunteered to make a whole Jewish nation by my own volunteering, by appreciating my own individual role. There's two individuals in creation. One is Adam, one is Avraham Avinu. Adam was obviously one, and Avraham Avinu, Echotay Avraham, Avraham was one. The difference was Adam was created by Hashem into one, and Avraham Avinu made himself into one. He recognized his greatness that he is one. How did he recognize his greatness? I'm going to share with you a deep thought. The Torah says, in the time of Avraham Avinu, of the Dor HaFloga, there was different levels when Avraham Avinu recognized Hashem. There's different madrashim. One madrash says the age of 3, one madrash says the age of 10, one madrash says the age of 48. The truth of every madrash is true. In every year, in every opinion, there was an additional depth to his recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course he recognized by the age of 3. Of course he recognized by the age of 3 Hashem. But when he came to age of 10, he recognized in a deeper level. And the deepest level that he recognized the role of a man, what he could accomplish in this world, was at the age of 48. That was the highest level. What did he recognize? That there is uniqueness in him, that is one individual person, Echot Avraham, that he is Adam Arishon. This Chayv Adam Elohim v'Bishvili Nivra Olam. Just like we said, in other words, when did Avraham Avinu heard this lecture? This Chayv Adam Elohim, a person has to say, v'Bishvili Nivra Olam, the whole world has been created for my... For me, he reckoned about the 48 years. Why when he was 48? Because at the age of 48 was the story of the Dor HaFloga, when the whole world got united. And the Torah expresses himself in a very interesting way. The Torah says, V'hoyo kol ha'aretz, the whole world became Dvorim Achodim V'Sofo Echad. They all became united in one goal, in one language. They all became one. So Avraham Avinu saw a very interesting phenomenon, that the whole world, they became all animals. Like you said before, many axes is one ax, many donkeys is one donkey. They're indifferent one to the other. And when mankind rebelled against their greatness, man rebelled against their greatness, because they found themselves totally unified, there's no difference between me and you, we are all really one, so then we are worthless. I'm nothing more than a number in this world. As the Germans made feel the Jews in Auschwitz, you just have a number, that's all. No name, nothing. no grave, no identity, a number. That's all. When mankind lost the value of individuality, of a mankind, of a specialty, that they got all united, they felt no purpose of that. This world doesn't give them any value. So they were forced to climb to heaven to get a certain appreciation of life. So let's make a mountain, let's climb. And when the whole mankind lost their individuality, there was only one man who recognized, no, I have an individuality. That was Abramovich. It was one against one. It wasn't one against a whole many individuals. It was like you go into a zoo, you find a million animals. You say, I was so lonely. What do you mean lonely? There were a million animals there, but they were all one animal. One man against a million animals. It's one man against one big animal. That's all. When all humanity lost their beauty of their individuality and they became all one, Avraham Avinu was sticking out to say, recognize, if they are one, I'm also one, and I'm really one. As an individual, I'm really one. And this oneness, that was, he recognized the role what Hashem had invested in him, that he has to deliver something, and therefore he delivered this one nation, Goy Echad Boris, that we have the unique one nation. And this is the Lesachmoy. He'll be coming back to the point. When Hashem gave us Torah, in the Ten Commandments, in the Seder Sadibres, Hashem speaks to us in a singular way, not in a plural way. In the Torah, many times He speaks, Atem Tiuli Memleches Kaharim, you're going to be to me a nation. It's all plural, Rabbi. But in the Seder Sadibres, in the Ten Commandments, which is the foundation of Torah, Hashem speaks individual. Anoichi I am Hashem Elokecho, I'm your God. Asher Tzisichu, I took you out. Hashem speaks to every individual person separately. I took you out of Hashem. You should keep Shabbos. You should. That's the main message. The message is here. Not only Hashem gave us a Torah, but Hashem gave us a one exclusive individual Torah. And what I accomplish with my production of my keeping Torah is no way the same as yours. Everyone has another accomplishment in this world. In today's modern technology, it's very easy to explain to beautiful Moshe. You could work on the same computer, on the same hardware. You could even push the same buttons. You could even follow the same instructions. But you get a totally different melody. You know, on KCO, you have many buttons today, all kind of numbers. And you could sing any kind of a song. Now, one will get an organ, one will get a piano, one will get a violin, one will get anything. They all do the same thing, except you push the button of violins, you're playing a violin. You push the button of an organ, you put an organ. You put a piano, playing a piano. And they push the same buttons, the same things, but they get a totally different quality of songs. The world is one instrument which is programmed by Hashem with Torah. Torah is the program of the instrument, the computer. And every one of us, we keep the same Shabbos, the same kosher, the same family life, the same mitzvahs, the same everything. But everyone produces a totally different product. And not one is duplicating the other. Hashem has many, Hashem is an orchestra. Now, when you have an orchestra, you know, everyone has to give his own Halibu Tzitzili, Shofar Tzitzili, Tziriyo Tzitzili. No, but everyone has his own, voice, which he has to add. And I have to make my line, and he has to make his line, and nobody could cross boundaries, cross the border to the other line. But then Hashem, all this production together is orchestrated together as one orchestra, and Hashem gets his final beautiful production. And one day when Mashiach will come in the Olam HaEmes, you're going to hear the symphony, which always contributes. Everyone had his delivery. And today, you know, in this case, you have this computer memories. You work and work and work and work, and all of a sudden you give the memory out, everything comes out, what you played yesterday, it's all accumulated. So nothing went lost. Every Jew, from Avraham Avinu, whatever they played on this beautiful instrument of this world, their life, is always put in memory. And now Baruch Hashem be adding to this memory our little input, which Hashem gave us, and that will give it an added taste to the symphony, which Hashem will sit back and play it up for all of us, and we're going to hear our production together with Avraham Yitzchak Yankos and Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Tanoim and all the Maran, as long as we do. Now, this is actually what means Bishvili Nivroim. Every individual has a unique job in this world. And if the Torah was given to everyone individually of us. Now, how do Hashem gives us a test? You know, when you make math in the end, if you want to know that you really did a job which should be, there's a certain test, how you call this final banner, a certain test if you had the right answer. And what is the final test if you lived and functioned properly? It's the last commandment of Lo Yisach Mot. You cannot envy at nobody. Why? Because imagine, If you're playing an organ system, all of a sudden somebody clapped around a piano thing, spoiled you the whole thing. You don't want the piano voice. It's the same bottle, looks the same, but has a different tune. And it totally spoils your whole production. Nobody would want somebody else. So this is called Lesachmet. We could only play the instruments which Hashem gives. And once I really appreciate my role, Bishvili Nivra Oilam, I can't be the one who demand and complain, Hashem said, give me something else. Because that something else may interfere with my system which I have to deliver. Of course, Hashem gives us mitzvahs, gives us desires, gives us needs. And we many times explain that all these desires and all these mitzvahs is the way Hashem communicates with us in a daily way in telling us what I want you to do. But doesn't mean when you go out to do that you must get a delivery, because I maybe have a different plan for you. However, why do I made a need for you? Because I want you out to do something, because the doing is an accomplishment for himself. And the production is so great, it's a part of the big production that you can't even see it then, because the symphony is not ready yet for the being orchestrated together for the whole public. Sometimes to see the production, now it comes out as follows, and I must say it out boldly. The mitzvah of having children is not the having of the children, because unfortunately many people have children and they have no mitzvah because they don't want it. They're complaining, they're crying, they're begging, and they curse the day they have a child. Unfortunately, the mitzvah is not having the child, because having the child is not out, as Hashem gives us if you want it or not. The mitzvah is to want to have a child and to do about everything which we have to do in a normal way to have the child. And the wanting and doing, that's the mitzvah. What we consider a means is the goal, and what we consider the goal is a means. In other words, we live now, we accomplish missions now, not future. A person who looks that the goal is to accomplish, so you want a child. So everything which you do now is a preparation to get a child. And if Hashem doesn't give you a child, all the investment was lost, all the prayers was lost, all the money which you spent for doctors was lost, all the disappointments, all your pain was lost, all your tears was lost. Because in the end, Hashem didn't listen to you. And the main thing is to have a child. So comes out, you invested, agony and pain and disappointment, and Hashem didn't give it to you, so it's all wasted. It's totally wrong. The purpose is to do now, Hashem says, Asakta b'Piriyariv, where you busy in Piriyariv. When we do what we have to do to have children, you're busy with Piriyariv, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. And this could be even you're not married. When you are making the normal effort to build a family, to get married in order to build a family, you always have a pretty believer. And of course, every situation Hashem makes right, and now you get married, you have to be continuous in pretty believer. And now when it doesn't come, you have to do something about it, you have to die, you have to go to the doctor, you have to take your believer. And if the doctor said there's nothing could be done anymore, you could still have to be always a believer. You have to die. You have to let know you pain to Hashem and ask Hashem, this is a pretty believer. And every time when we do, mission accomplished. I have a child right now. The child was born right now. The baby's here. Because the fact that I want a child is nothing more than the instruction and the direction, the way Hashem instructs me what to do now. I don't know if I mentioned it in this crowd. It's a very important thing. There's a difference between our life, a Torah life, which is a full life. Avraham Zokin, back in this elastic parsha. Avraham Zokin, Bo Bayomim. Avraham became old and came with all his days, says the Zohar. He came with all his days, he didn't miss a moment of his life. He had a full productive life. Now, did he have a full productive life? For 99 years, he wanted to have children, and only the age of 99. So the last 99 had a full productive life. What happened at the age of 70, 71, 75, and 76? So all full productive. Matter of fact, when he had a child, that wasn't his doing, that was Hashem's doing. What he did all his life to have a child, that was his doing, and that's productive. In the secular world, outside in the Torah world, you are going to work in order to make money. The work is a means. And so most of the time you don't make the money anyhow, so the work was wasted. And if you do make the money, so you only live, but you got money. But all the work that you put in, you try to forget, it's worthless. In Torah it's the opposite. In Torah is, and Hashem says, you must have money, you have to support a family, so you have to go out to work. So you know what you're doing. You are making a mitzvah by going out to work. Every moment you're accomplishing a mission. supporting a family, working, what you have to do, it's a mitzvah. How do you know you have to work? Because Hashem took away money, and therefore, you know, you need money. So the needing money is a means which lets you know what you have to do now. I did it now, I did a mitzvah Hashem. I made the money, and then I was mug chasu shalom in the street, was taking away the money. Doesn't matter, I did my mitzvahs. Every moment I made money. It's a total, that's called a full life, a full production life. So it comes out, people could have children and consider it not having children. People could have no children and consider it that every, a matter of fact, if you want to be very honest, the way it's really being looked in the truth, I say people have no children, and their whole life is focused on, they do the proper hishtadlus, the proper, not too much and not too little. They don't give up, and never give up. There's no, even the doctors, no matter what they say, never give up, because Hashem is a kol yochel, and I know stories like that. But at the same time, don't give ultimatums to Hashem, and you'll be happy just by doing what I know what I have to do, and but you do what you have to do in the proper way, the proper mixture of bitochen and ishtarlis. Accepting whatever Hashem gives in advance, I will accept, but at the same time, doing what Hashem will want me to do. The more you pre-accept the future, no matter you don't know the future, but you pre-accept, no matter Hashem, whatever you do. But why are you working now towards it if you pre-accept it? Because it's a mitzvah to work, to have children. That mitzvah, you're already having a child. So it comes out, a childless person could really, in essence, I'm not talking about the Torah which I say about tefillah. In essence, by doing this, we're having children. The toldos of tzaddikim is a mitzvah to work. What does it mean? Because we don't want the child because, per se, the child must be there. We want the child because Hashem said to us, you should have children, and therefore I want to fulfill mitzvah sabo, and I'm doing everything to have it. Whatever is my share, I'm doing. Whatever is Hashem, shall it heal. If I did all my share, I did all my needs, I put in my tefillah, put in my ishtarlis, I delivered my children. I will share it with you again. At once, one of my wife gave birth to one of my children, and unfortunately, just as she went to delivery, the morning, the doctor says, I don't hear any heartbeat. And the doctor right away said that it's the baby obviously got suffocated, or whatever. This was a stillborn baby. It was a dead birth. So we expected it. Also, I thought back of my mind that Hashem could make nisim, but there's no such a day. You see everything so clean and fine, and we were Hashem, we were experienced. We know what a child delivering a baby means. And here, full month, she has contractions already, and there's no heartbeat whatsoever. So that is, you know, it's a dead baby. So already in advance, I called the Chevre Kedisha. She comes to the hospital, pick up the fetus, and then and when my wife came home, it was the day before Purim, and she was pretty down, very, very down. And I told her, you had a baby. I always say, a woman is not the baby, what you have is the baby, because that is a sham. A woman, what you do to the baby, that is the baby. That's the mitzvah of mass and toive. Every moment of pregnancy, every moment of want to be pregnant, every moment of doing a deed, every moment to be misspelled, every time you go to a doctor. In a proper balance way, that's the main message I'm going to give out. In a proper, never to be desperate and never to be happy-go-lucky, I don't care. Because a lot of people care, they're human beings. We have to be in touch with our feelings. In other words, Hashem gives us human feelings, human desires that take that human feeling, the human need, and take it together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Amunah in Bitochen, and live it together, to do it together, walking with Hashem, with my personal life, with my personal deep emotional hurt. And there Hashem says, now I trust you, that when at the time when you are hurt at the bottom, and you may spill some words, and you're not spilling the words, you're mixing then the bitochen with the things. Now, if people would have ways of ignoring their feelings, to walk away from the feelings and to stimulate themselves and entertain themselves away, they would never be tested. Are you making the proper mixture of the shtamos and bitochen? So Hashem gave us the sensitivity and the needs and the emotional needs, the emotional hurt, and many times it pulls us down. We have good days and bad days. What you have to know, at the time when we get up once on the left side, pull down for some reason, once you pull down, when your husband is pulled down, when somebody gave you a comment and that pulls you down. So every time when the pull down comes, we always have to mix to be talking like Kodesh Baruch Hu thinks, but Hashem, you're running the world and I'm accepting what you're doing. In other words, We cannot have one level. A band is never standing on one line. It's just like the mixture of these two things, of bitochen and shtalas, always has to be regulated according our emotional feeling, emotional stage of it is. When I'm hurt at the most, here we have to pump in bitochen in line, so Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're running the world, and I don't care what you're going to do with me, the fact I want it, the fact I'm doing it, I'm making my mitzvah, the balance is left to you. At a time when we are forgetting, we're too busy in business, we get career people, we get entertained away or something like that, it's also wrong. We have to have our regular, natural human feelings too. Because when we escape our feelings, we don't use the bitochen, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing, something more beautiful, there's nothing greater beautiful when a person brings himself to the point of Chayav Odom Loimi Bishvili Nivraim. That's beautiful. But Hashem forces us to the recognition, yes, I'm unique, I'm special, I'm accomplishing my mission without a child if you don't give me children. And you of Hashem, if you brought me down to the world because I accomplished my past life, I accomplished my mission already, I had my children already. Many, many times I told you that. That is a very important thing to know. That we have different missions. We have individual missions and we have collective missions. We have collective responsibility, we have individual responsibility. Every Chazal tell us, we were born with 613 organs. Ramach Evrim Shesog Gidim. And every part of our physical, biological organs has a counterpart, as Chaimetal says in Shara Kedusha, Tarek Mitzvah. And every mitzvah is giving eternal life one of our physical, biological organs, and that's a Chesh HaMeisim. So, because we entered it, so we are Tzelem Elokim, we the formation, and we are stamped out in the formation, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Also, Torah is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Chochmosa, it's the Chochma. And the Torah has Tariyak Mitzvahs, and we have Tariyak Everim, and every Ever is a Mitzvah. And the Mitzvah, every Mitzvah is in a Shom of a particular Ever. So the Maizah comes out that we're going to be Zorcha Meitz Hashem to Tchias HaMeisim, that our body will be resurrected, and we're going to be living forever together with our body. It's because our soul, our body, experience the mitzvah. So the mitzvah, every Jew has to experience 630 mitzvahs. Is that possible? How many mitzvahs only shach for a kohen? How many mitzvahs only for a levi? How many mitzvahs for Israel? How many mitzvahs for men? How many mitzvahs for women? How many mitzvahs where the mikdash is there, where the mikdash is not there, and chitzos and etzvahs? It's not possible. So there's many truths and there's many answers in the fin collective arevus. We are all unified, we are all one. And if you make one mitzvah, I make the other mitzvah, we share it. And there's other things that our neshama, which was standing in Har Sinai, from Har Sinai till Melech HaMashiach, our neshama comes down so many times in so many situations, so many conditions, that somehow, someday we have a direct connection to all 630 mitzvahs, and then we are totally completed. So if I fulfilled in my past generation my mitzvah of having children, there's no point of having children now. So Hashem takes it away. So none of us are crying, why I'm not a Kohen. I remember, I give a little personal incident which I had. It was very interesting. I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I've gone many times, and I have friends of mine, and they invited me to a party. They're making a mixture of Reishis Hagez. I mean, they go, they buy five sheep, that's a minimum of five sheep, and they let grow the wool, and when you cut the wool, you take like you take challah. And this is applied, believe in today, so the first cut of the wool, you have to give to a coin. You give it to a coin, just like if, and that you could give because that could be, coin could use even his stomach. Challah they can give because not allowed to eat challah because his stomach, truma here, not allowed to, so we have to burn them. But the ratio is against the wool, we give it to a coin, this belongs to a coin, just like we give a pinion, we give it to a coin. And then we give it to a coin, then we buy it back from him for money. It's a very, he's fulfilling a really beautiful mitzvah, like a pinion aben or whatever. So it's a small gehabt hechesek. I would also like to do the mitzvah. This costs a little money. You have to buy five sheep. You have to have a flock, a little eider. So you have to buy five sheep. You have to pay it for the farmer to raise it. It's a small gehabt mitzvah. I would like to fulfill this mitzvah. So I didn't want to do it. We don't learn every day this halachas. It's not so. I went down to the Medrash. I took the Shulchan Aruch. I took the Rambam. I took the sources. I want to learn through the halachas. I want to know what I'm doing. I want to fulfill a mitzvah. Good. And I started learning also, it strikes me, Reishis Gev, who is Chayv Reishis Gev? He's Shroi, Chayv Reishis Gev, but a Levi is Potter of Reishis, I'm a Levi, so here is God. So all my effort, he was dedicated money and everything. Did I start crying? Hashem, you took away from me the mitzvah of Reishis, I guess. Did I start crying? This mitzvah doesn't belong to me. The previous life, probably I was a Yisroel, and I did it already. If not, I would have given opportunity now to me. That's really the way we have to look at everything. However, of course, losing a mitzvah of Reishis, I guess, is not like losing a mitzvah of having a child. Of having a child is something which is beyond the mitzvah, is human need, human desire, human emotion of the most dependable, depend on it so much to this need. So the feelings are there. But again, that's the greatness of a Jew, that every Jew, somewhere in his life, must have a confrontation between the intellectual part of his duty as fulfilling the mitzvahs Hashem, as unique individual between him and Hashem, and by giving as a sacrifice his emotional, human feeling, and to control it and raise it. And it's not an overnight job, it's not an over a month job, this takes years to develop and develop. And every man must have that. That's the second stage of Yiddishkeit. Vedato Hayom is the first stage. You have to be knowledgeable, you have to learn, you come to learn. You have to know what's the truth, what is my role. And that everyone could do it. You could sit technically, intellectually, you could learn all this beautifully, and everyone could do it. And I'm sure every one of you accepts this and everything fine and well. But what's the next statement? It's easier said than done, okay? It's true, it's everything nice, but feelings doesn't agree with it. Then comes the second stage, you have to be able to bring it into your heart. When you have intellectual awareness up there, and intellectually say, Lezachmud, I'm not envying, I'm not jealous at anyone. Let my sister have a lot of children, because this is Hashem gave it to him, this is her role. And Hashem didn't give to me. Obviously, I fulfilled my mitzvah of children. If I would not fulfill my mitzvah of children, Hashem would have given it to me. Everything which I have to do, Hashem would have given it to me. So as far as the mitzvah, this is really not my thing. If that's the end result, that I have no children. So what is hurting me now? My human feelings. So here is my confrontation. Bring in that awareness of your heart into your heart. And not to suppress your feeling. No, not to suppress. Because sometimes we could suppress it. Rather to transform our feeling. Transforming our feeling. That means to get a higher goal in life, and that automatically outdoes the previous goal. And let me give you I know what your highest goal now in life. We're going to be waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're fast asleep. And says, what do you want? I want a baby. I want a child. Okay? That is our highest goal in life. And it's understood. And it's natural. It's good. That's the way it should be. Now, I would ask you a question. If Hashem would tell you right now that you could bring Mashiach, but this is supposed to be your highest goal, would you switch over your baby for Mashiach? Immediately. Because the minute you have a higher value, the past value phases out. Doesn't mean it's not there. We still want a baby. But there's something more important than that. Let me ask you, this is too far-fetched, Mashiach. It's not far-fetched. It should be. We should all want it. But to say it's all depend on me is far-fetched, okay? But let's say something else. Let's say there's a big tzaddik, a big Elohim, which the world stands on him, who needs a refuah shleima. And you're being told now, either you bring your refuah shleima to his tzaddik and the world benefit, either you have a baby. What would you choose? What would you do? You would think a little bit. And then you would say, what will accomplish a baby? What will accomplish? I have a baby in his tzaddik. It's my ozgur beit in a kind. It's my ozgur beit in a tzaddik. Why do I want a child? So once you understand it deep enough, you make on your own decision, no, I want the refuah shleima for this tzaddik, and this is my baby. You don't suppress your feeling for a child. It just disappears because you have a higher accomplishment. I'm just trying to tell that Torah is not madregas. People think to live with this high thought, you have to be a Baal Madrega. Baal Madrega means that you have this desire continuously, and you have to continuously have to suppress it and step on yourself. That's a Madrega. No. Torah demands for you first, intelligent, intellectually consult and think about your role in life and what you're living for, what is the purpose of living. And ingrain it in your sake, vidata, deeper and deeper in knowledge, to the point it starts filtering down to your heart, and you got a total new perspective, total new values, total new priorities in your life, to the point that the previous desires just disappears. and therefore you're not a Baal Madrega because you're not devastated anymore, because it's not my first priority. My first priority is to accomplish what Hashem wants me to accomplish. That's my first priority. And that could be accomplished. People say it's easier said than done, but I always say it's easier done than said. When you say it again, we're saying that then it could be done. We just have to say that, and this is truth, and this is emes. Now, I don't know if I shared it in this group to another group. I think it was another group. There was once overheard a dialogue between two twins when they were in the mother's womb. Matter of fact, in this sixth parsha. There was two little babies in the mother's womb. Besides that, they were kicking around. What were they fighting on? So, you know, Esau wanted to go to Avodah Zarah, Yaakov wanted to go to Beis Medrash. What does it mean? I just overheard the discussion as following. Esau says to Yaakov, or Yaakov says to Esau, what do you think is going to be? You have such a wonderful life here. We're being fed, we're being taken care, we're being sheltered. We have air conditioning when we need, cooling system, we have heating, so we have everything taken care of, no problem, we don't have to pay any bills, no taxes, no rent, nothing. Everything is taken care of. But we know soon our life is over, we have a beautiful 9 months, and then what's happening then? Yaakov asks Esau, what's going to happen after that? He says, nothing, then we die, we disappear. We just fall out and finish, it's over, life is over, fun is over. That's it. So Yaakov says to Esau, how could it be? It doesn't make any sense. Don't you see the unbelievable investment and the design and the beauty and the miracles that you're going through? There's a continuous investment. If something goes wrong, you know, we're over. There's so much invested in us, and all these things should end up, that's it? It's, everything is over? So what do you suggest then? He says, I think we're only going to be born after that. Here we're being only developed, and the real life only starts after. It says, come on, you must be ridiculous. Did anyone ever came back telling you that? Nobody ever came back. who tells you such a stories? We're very well aware of this dialogue. This is called Yaakov Avinu says, there's Olam Haba. Life starts after. Esau says, no, life is here. There's no Olam Haba. Life is here. So he needs somebody who needs immediate pleasure. He goes immediately, whatever you have here, that's what you have after that. Now, we speak about the dialogue which takes 9 months. How about having a dialogue which about our 89 years of life? What do people talk now? What do we discussion? Do we have people? Is the life after that or isn't life after that? And what do we say? What are we saying? We're saying that real life starts after that. What is now? Now we are in a pregnancy stage that we are being developed. We are being developed, that's all. And every one of us is a unique individual that Hashem gives us the ingredients what we have to develop. So our real life, it starts only after 120. Now, you know, in pregnancy, if you develop 3 fingers, you're stuck with 3 fingers all your life. If you develop 5 fingers, that's what you get, 5 fingers. Now, does anyone want to develop in pregnancy such a horn? Who needs a horn? You don't want to live with a horn. You don't want to have any excess organs, limbs, or missing limbs. How do I know what I need here in my 70, 80, 90 years of life when I'm only in the pregnancy stage, developing future? How do I know what I should want? How do I know? The difference is between the features and us, we being both in the pregnancy stage, we all prepare for the future life. So the features is in a forced situation, there's no choice. And we, to a certain extent, are the same way, no choice. Because Hashem doesn't give us anyhow what we want. So our choice does not change life anyhow. However, we think that we have choice, and we want, and we complain, and we brag, and we cry, and we laugh, and we think we're pulling strings. That's the only difference. The future doesn't even think that he does anything. And we know we think, and we can totally deny. The question comes. I think all of you believe what I said till now. We're living here, developing our future. We're in a pregnancy stage, and whatever we develop here, that's what we're going to be stuck forever. And that's what Chazal say. Yofo, Shoachas, 1 second, 1 moment of living in this world, in this 70, 80 years of life, to live it with tshuva u'masim tovim. Tshuva means with the true awareness of Hashem in us and masim tovim to do what we have to do. That moment is more worth in accomplishing than all the chayei olam habo, all the future living. Why? Because we know that if a child, if a feature doesn't develop a fifth finger, he will never have a fifth finger. Whatever we develop it, that's what we stuck with. In the world to come, nothing could be developed. So it comes out, who of us has the nerves to claim and to demand from Hashem? We've been told before, we have been told, that every one of us is individual, unique individual. That means, now we may look alike. We're all neighbors, we talk the same thing, we eat the same food, we talk the same nonsense. But in the world to come, when we're being born, everyone delivers a unique individuality. None of us is duplicating the other. Your whole picture, your whole delivery, your whole system. Your whole system. Who of us would have the nerves to demand somebody else's limbs, somebody else's tool, his part, whatever, which may be totally, maybe a horn in the middle of my forehead. I'm a totally different being. I'm a totally different design. So the only one who is authorized to give me what I need in my pregnancy stage is Hashem, because He's the one who's designing me. He's the one who's preparing me for the future. He's the only one. However, Hashem took us in as a partner that we should develop ourselves with our own free choice. And He gives us instructions. So it comes out, our needs and our desires and our human requirements are nothing more than tools where Hashem is directing us what we have to do, what we shouldn't do. In other words, the Torah and the needs of a man, these two things are guiding us, how do we participate in our development. But not that we should call the shots, and not that we should demand things which may be wrong. In many, many times, I ask my people in other desperate situations, everyone has his own way of desperate situation, everyone thinks that my desperate is the worst, everyone is complete, everything is the biggest martyr, and I really don't know what is worse. Unfortunately, everything is bad enough when a person is in it. But I ask every group in this different desperate stage, and I would ask you too, suppose if Hashem would very clearly speak to you, with no doubt, and Hashem would tell us these words, you know what? Whatever you want, whatever you dictate, I give you. 100%, I deliver whatever you want. And of course, the first thing it says, I want children, I want this and this, you get it. 100%. And everything else. But Hashem, but remember, you're responsible for your life, because you're dictating your life, and I'm nothing more servicing you. I'm just giving what you want. So you're going to get everything what you want, but you're responsible for your life. That's option one. Option two, close your eyes and leave it on me, and just accept the simcha that I give you. Of course, you have to do your mitzvahs that you have to do, but the results, leave it all up to me, but I'm responsible for your life. You just do what you have to do, but then I'm responsible for your life. Close your eyes, don't want to know anything. Which option would you choose? Who of us would choose option one? Who would have the nerves to take his own life in his own hand? Of course, Esav, which he thinks that life is here, nothing is after, says, of course I want to live. I want to get anything which you want, give me. It would only take option one. None of us would take option one. Because what do I know what is good to me? How could I take responsibility for the world of eternity? World of eternity? If you would ask the features in the third month of pregnancy, what do you want? He said, I want to jump out. Who wants to be here? But he's going to come out a cripple. He's going to come out a cripple. We want so many things that we would totally cripple ourselves. So what's happening now? We say, if Hashem would give us clearly the two choices, we would pick the second choice, right? And what is the reality? Hashem gave us the second choice anyhow. We live in the second choice. And just because He didn't give us the first choice, we should be sad about it. We would have picked the second choice. And why didn't Hashem give this first choice? Because maybe He doesn't trust us. Maybe we'd pick the first choice. So what's so catastrophic? If Hashem made sure that we should have the best, and here we ourselves, and another other person saying, I would pick the first choice, really. We all would pick the second choice anyhow, because we know Hashem knows what He's doing, and especially when we know what is our future. And this has to be chazed, this has to be chazed and chazed. And then if you chazed is sign, then just to not to feel that we're leaving the world without getting what we wanted is totally wrong. You got everything what you wanted. You have maybe deprived giving you this emotional feelings, good feelings of having a baby now. But a baby means future. Do you have children in the future or not? Today is a temporary development stage. In a development stage, many people have live babies in their hand, but nothing more than dolls. And it's not the babies altogether. They never wanted them, and they don't develop them. They complain about them, don't do anything about them, not mechanach them. And when they're getting old, they wish they would never have them. They're having so much trouble in tzuras with it. And other people who have never a child in their hands, they have a lot of children because we want to do the Ratzon Hashem, we do the proper thing, and we're always in this confrontation, and always bringing in this awareness of Hashem, the awareness of the future, not the awareness of today, and dealing with the pain of today, and putting to sleep and tranquilizing our pain with the real medication, which is Torah, which is acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem lives in us, we live with Hashem, we walk with Hashem, we think with Hashem, we go to sleep with Hashem, we woke up with Hashem, and that's the life that all comes out. When we finish our life, all of a sudden we see our productions, you didn't have children, thousands of children, every investment that you made in that, or sacked the period, this is really the life. And this is in every area of life, what this has to be chazit, and of course the world does not agree with that. The world is totally opposite. The world is everything what you see with your fleshy eyes. Everything has to be tangible things. As unfortunately, they are good life. You see what's happening after that. So unfortunately, many people don't live with what is happening after that. But we have to live it. So many times we used to say, Hashem can't ignore us. So what does Hashem do? Hashem picks his representatives in every area of life. Very sick people, they're representing us to give us value what life means. Childless people, Hashem picked them to give us appreciation of what children means. Unfortunately, not many people getting together and working so hard about children as you because they have children. And they're neglecting their own children, the biggest investment that Hashem gave them. And other people have shalom bias problems. And only after shalom bias problems, they really figure out what is the beauty of shalom bias. I say always there's three major foundations in the structure of Yiddishkeit. One is life, that's the first thing which you have to preserve. Two is family, and family is husband and wife, and three is children. And all those three foundations is the most ignored, the most not understood, the most not put in any thinking. We don't appreciate what is a moment of life, we waste life, we complain about life. We don't appreciate what is a Jewish family life, what is the Torah concept of marriage and the prophet, and we don't appreciate children if they have a lot of children. We don't know what to do with them, and we don't know how to train them, we don't know how to mechanech them, we just, everything is mitzvah and Hashem and mother. And how does the real value of these three most fundamental basics come up when you start dealing with it in depth? All of a sudden Hashem doesn't give it. Hashem takes away life. People get terribly sick. All of a sudden you need support of life. When there's a problem in shalom bias, and you make it up because understanding the meaning of it. And when there is no children, we start saying, what is a child? Why do you want to have children? Is it because I want to have, because Hashem wants to have? And we're getting all this beautiful Ashkofe in, and we're starting to internalizing it, because we have no alternative. And again, to those of you which many times, I heard it in the beginning, for the, at least your advanced one probably wouldn't say it, maybe you feel it yet, but you wouldn't say it anymore. That all this Ashkofe is all Madregas and too much demanded from us. Too much demanded from us. What do you expect from us? And you know my answer is, what's your alternative? You have no alternative. Hashem is putting us in a corner. Hashem says, you must come back to me. I want to make you a Balos Madrega. I want you to live with higher thoughts, with higher truth, with higher appreciation. And once we accept Hashem's invitation and we work hard and we reheat the tapes, you come to seminars, you read the positive books, you reinforce, you machazak other people, you start striving, you start growing. And to the point which I heard already some of you saying, which you shouldn't have said. It doesn't have to be said. It could be felt. Said, you know what? I'm thanking Hashem he didn't give me a child. Because he would have given me children what I wanted, I would never be where I am today. But that's not the right thing. He said, Baruch Hashem, that you didn't give me so far a child, that you brought me to a level where I am, and now please give me a child. And I promise you I'm not going to fall back. Because unfortunately, many, after having a child, and then they're falling back. They don't need anymore this Hashkofe. And all those beautiful madrigals have fallen back. And you remember which I told you, Takis in next week's parsha. What did Rochel and Meini do? Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't give Matthias, didn't give him children? Because Hashem wanted that Phyllis. So Rochel and Meini said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? You could give me a child, trust me. I'm going to nudge you even after that. Just give a baby and you're not going to lose one Phyllis. Of course, before we have children, what don't we put? What don't we daven? But after we have a child, we stop it. At least, okay, but we're not with the same intensity as we did before. So Rochel Meinu says, Hashem, if you don't give me a child just because you want my tefillahs, if you don't give me a child because it's not my mission, I'm accepting it. But if you didn't give me a child because you want my tefillahs, give me a child, I promise you're not going to miss even one day. I'm going to miss Paula, even more than I was miss Paula till now. So what does he do? What does she do? Finally, Hashem gives her a child. What name does she give to the child? Yosef. Yosef li Elokim benach. Give me another child. I mean, this is a little chutzpah. You just give a baby. You're already begging the other child. For the second, Rocham didn't settle. The minute she got a child, she called his name, child, Yosef. Yosef li Elokim benach. So every time Rocham was crying, Yosef, come in. Hashem, give me another child. She wanted to make sure that she's never going to forget to continue to be mispallel, even Hashem, you satisfied me, because you kept me hungry for so long that I should put in fillers. I'm going to continue to put in fillers endlessly after giving me a child. So I think that's the same thing we should say. I thank Hashem so far that Oit Hashem ki enough to be. I thank Hashem that you tortured me. Oit Hashem ki nisoni. That you really inflicted on me this deep hurt. I'm thanking you. Because of this thanking, I came closer to you. I got the real insight of tefillah. I got the real insight of meaning of life. I got the real insight of living for the future. It made me grow. It made me be mevatel the stupidity of the Olam Hazeh, the old people who ran after the world without even thinking. Said, maybe, maybe, mensch. But now that you made me so, Hashem, I promise you, if you now give me a child, and I promise you, I will not fall back. And Hashem knows exactly what's going on in Chadri Levavinu. He knows exactly how deep, really, sincerely we mean it. And if Hashem really said we really mean it, and our mission is eventually to have a child, we should be answered right away. And again, if our mission is not to have a child, it has already so came, we came into the world with this decree because we already accomplished this mission previously, we have to accept this too. Not to give up to do ishtaras, not to give up to be mispallel. Because again, we said the child is not the delivery, child is what we do for a child, this is a child. And the child eventually comes to existence. Sometimes we see it here, if you don't see it here, we're going to see it in the world to come. I will take your questions. And please ask your questions. Problem, right? Now, do you think if the other people would be not tzuris, wouldn't be your problem be much greater? When they said tzuris ram chotz in a chomer, if you hear a 15-year-old child speaking to himself, you wouldn't want to have a child like that. And then the chatenu man to enikel again. Actually, you're contradicting yourself. So what do you see? You're now a victim of a total overall depression, which is a horror, throws at us mud, and we don't think. We get overwhelmed with emotions. All right, that's what happens. So what has to be done? Hashem is forcing on Klal Yisrael, get out of your coma, get out of your sleep. The closer we come to Mashiach, and again, I will make a commercial, read my book, Days Are Coming, in order to understand how we prepare for Mashiach, we have to do tshuva. We have to understand Mashiach is not going to come to salvage us in areas where we are salvageable ourselves. You're not helping your child, you're not helping a person to eat when he could eat himself, when he could eat on his own. You're helping a person when he can't. Hashem wants to be healthy, self-developed, self-made people. Hashem gave us the tool, gave us the intellect, and gave us the knowledge, and gave us the awareness. We have to work. Now, at the same time, the whole world is a world full of suffering. But you see, every store is open, and every office is open in 47th Street, and the newsstands are sold out, every newspaper is read, and the radio is heard of, the world goes on. But when it comes to self-responsibility between you and Hashem, all of a sudden we get just overburdened with all this suffering. Hashem once obviously forces us down on our knees that we should start looking up to Him and talking to Him and to discover that we can't run away from Him. Because Hashem led us in peace and gave us prosperity, and when things are not going bad, we forget about Hashem. We're just running as fast as we can. So Hashem has to tie the screws collectively and privately. collectively. We would never in history, the entire Klal Yisrael, in the hands so vulnerable to anti-Semitism as of today. There was never a time that the Jewish people were so, maybe the time by Haman, when it was Achashverosh and Haman, they dominated the world, and they were under the clasp of them. But today, what you see, you have 4.5 million of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, surrounded with enemies, and who is protecting us? Who needs us? Except Hashem. America doesn't need us anymore. United Europe, Germany, the skinheads, they talk about refugees, the gypsies, they mean the Jews. What is America? Cronites, this, Rosenbaum, all those things. These are all messages. You have nobody in this world except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look up to me. This is in a collective scene. Private scene, there's hardly a family who is not inflicted with very deep hurt and total helplessness. Total helplessness. No money will help, no doctor will help. There's everything available. There's such a sophisticated world, and in every area, it's sophistications and entertainments and videos. And you're so free to move, and you get more and more destroyed, more and more devastated. What is the solution? The only chesed. Once there was a hungry person, I wanted to do chesed, I fed him. Someone couldn't marry his child, I gave him money, married his child. Today the problems, we can't help. Like you said, a 10-month child, a 15-year-old nervous breakdown, and a runaway kid, and all kind of crazy things that you have which you never heard before. No matter what you have, you can't help him. You could only help him with one thing, with Hashkosa, with understanding, lifting him up. Come back to Hashem. Hashem is literally pulling us back to him. And of course, we have choice, one choice of the other. We could get destroyed by not want to hear what we have to hear, or we could be salvaged and built back by hearing the proper Daf Torah and Hashkof how to build us back. Chazal tell us, and I think that's the most beautiful pshat which could be, which the pshat is, doesn't come from the commentary, it comes from reality, it comes from the street. Chazal tell us, Sha'alis Rebbe Lezer Agodol, they asked Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Lezer, Ma Yasa Oder Shinotzen Lechem L'Shem Mashiach? That was your question. What should a person do to be saved from this contraction, the pain of contraction, of birth of Mashiach, which is, the pain comes one after another. It's not every 5 minutes, 4 minutes, it's already, we are there. It's being, and the pain comes so great. So what should he do that he should be salvaged? He should save himself, he shouldn't get destroyed. He answered, Yasak b'toyre v'gmulis chosodim. He should be busy in toyre and gmulis chesed. So what is the news? Toyre gmulis chesed was almost, those are the three amudim which the world stands on. Toyre gmulis chesed was always with us. So what is the chiddush? This is, we always lived on Torah Gemilas Chesed and Avodah. So what is the machadish here? The answer is, till recently, Torah was one thing, Gemilas Chesed was another thing. Torah is learning, yeshiva, learning, kolel and gaman, fine, teaching, parmes Torah. Gemilas Chesed, charity, hatzolah, bikur cholem, all Gemilas Chesed. In this stage, what you question, the only way to help each other is, you have to do Gemilas Chesed with Torah. People are going to be so lost. And only we're going to be able to help them, not with money, not with doctors. Speak, give them Torah, give them the proper Hashkofa that's going to be his chesed, and they can find Hashem. So it comes out, we have to be in a certain desperation, and to realize nobody could help me, only a shtikel Hashkofa, a shtikel Machshova, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, only Torah. And when a person gets himself help, and I think many of you, Baruch Hashem, you felt already good moments already by understanding proper Hashkofa, and you felt a certain high, certain closeness to Kodesh Baruch Hu because of your desperation. That's the accomplishment, that's the achievement. And that has to be in a much, much higher, much continuous, without many zigzags, falling up and down, up and down. The more you develop this way of thinking, would be much better, much higher. And that's the reason which I go back to my appeal, you should come to seminars with your husbands, because there, you're rehearsing that you hear much more Hashkofa, more areas, more thinking, and you see it, the more clear you see this deep rayoiness, you see it in a picture, it becomes more a part of you, because you feel it in your heart, you become a real fulfilled person, you become like a happy person, and you're not being destroyed. And this is not only for you problems, this is for all problems. There's, I don't know if a family who doesn't need it today. Everyone in a different situation. And Achul way, the one who really doesn't need it, who thinks everything is fine, happy-go-lucky, has no problems whatsoever, he has the biggest problems. So if someone has no problems whatsoever, it means Hashem totally ignored him, go leave you out yourself, and there's nothing, or vegetating, you don't know what's going on, you're not looking, you're not thinking at all. But Shlomo Melech says, Yosef Das, Yosef Machat, the more smart you are, and Yosef Dafka, the more wisdom comes down to the world, because Mashiach's coming means Malo Eretz Yisrael Hashem. And today there's wisdom. Never was there so much wisdom, even in Torah. There's certain understandings, certain rayonis, which are so ripe that simple little people know such a deep, beautiful machshavas and deliver on it. There was never a time like today, because you're already benefiting from the drips and drops of Mashiach's time. We're getting the drops, the early light already from Mashiach's time. And when this das becomes available, this says Shlomo Melech, Yosef das, when this das, Yosef Machav, there's much more pain, because this goes together. Pain brings you the das, and das also sees the pain. Why do you recognize the pain here and there? Because you have a self-das. You think in yourself, and you understand what's going on. All of a sudden, you're sensitive to other people's pain. You see what's going on. So the more sensitive you are because of other people's pain, you start coming and you start learning about it, you start growing, reading the proper books, you're lifting up, you're getting closer to Hashem. And many other people have not been awakened yet. People are not really desperate, they're not awakened to hear the proper machshava. Yes. I wish I would know, because sometimes I have to know, because our host invites me. Next week I have to come to speak to parents who lose children. Next week I have to speak to divorcees. So next week I have to speak to this one. So others have to find a proper hashkofet to everyone. But the answer is, there's one solution for everything. The one solution for everything is there's Hashem. He runs the world, and there's a system, and we deliver, we have uniqueness. I gave a line for a person who never had a 5-year-old child passing away. And the 5-year-old child, I was just in Chicago, and somebody came to see me. Never Chalamona just lost a husband, and there's now a little child which is vegetating down, and soon should be gone, according statistics and medication medically. So losing a child, and how do you comfort such Chalamona? So I said such a line for a person with a 5-year-old vegetable child, and then lost eventually the child suffered with a five-year-old vegetable. And then in the end he died too, because he gave tremendous love to a child. When you give to a child, but the child gives you nothing back, even in a coma, you have no idea what kind of attachment and love you get to this person. When you really are dedicating yourself and giving for a person in a coma, which you get no feedback whatsoever, we can't imagine what kind of love you get to the attachment you get to this person. And it's mamish devastation when the person dies, because you lose like you're losing a limb, because it's really after achu kamoicho. So I use this line. Avraham Avinu passed away at the age of 175. He should have died 180. But he was cut 5 years off of his life, because he shouldn't see Esav going after Tal B'Sro. At the age of 175 of Avraham, Esav became Bar Mitzvah. And if Avraham would have seen Esav going out at Tal B'Sro, murdering, whatever he did, it would spoil his old age. Hashem wanted to die with Sevot Toiv, a happy, old person, accomplished person. So Hashem didn't want to see that he should see Esau's behavior. It took him 5 years earlier. So he died 175 instead of 180. However, at the same time, Chazal tell us, Posik says, Avraham Zokim Bo Bayom, he came with all his days. What does it mean? Kodesh Baruch Hu sent him down for 180 years. And he had a mission to accomplish in 180 years. But for the reason of the tzitkas of Avraham, it was given a favor, he should come back, take him back by 175, doesn't mean that he didn't accomplish those 5 years. So he had double production. The last 5 years, he made double, he made up. He accomplished all his 180 years life production in 175. But there was still missing 5 calendar years, as a vegetable was missing. The contents of life was all accomplished. But the eating and breathing and sleeping, the physical, biological life was missing for 5 years. And this eventually has to come back. Now imagine there's an auction in heaven. Who wants to get the neshama of Avraham Avinu for 5 years as a vegetable to feed him for 5 years? Who of us wouldn't fight for this schus? To carry a child for 9 months and to give birth to a little Avraham Avinu and to feed him for the next 5 years as a vegetable, and Baruch Hashem, if he delivered it, we gave him out his last 5 years. It would be the biggest schus. Because we would fight for this neshama. So do we know what is good, what is bad? I'm just giving you a hypothetical, which could be very true. I'm not saying Avraham Avinu, but so is many tzaddikim. How many children died in the crematories? How many big tzaddikim died in the Auschwitz, in the Holocaust, and all the things? They became kedoshim. But they were still missing the physical, biological system. And they have to all come back and they have to finish their life. And by the way, there was never a time there were so many children born, such a population, how to call it, explosion, as in today's time. And not only us, but they're going the same thing. Why? Because 54 million people died in 5 years in the Second World War. 54 million people. This has to become this population explosion, especially by the Yidden. There was never like by the Yidden. We get a weaker generation with Avtzeluchas. As much they don't want to have children, Dafke have it. It's all over. So see that the Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. So how do you comfort? If we would have seen this exactly, we have a crystal ball, we know exactly the system, it would be obvious that the Riyah Kodesh, he had the holy eyes. And when a person came in with a problem, he looked at his neshama, so they told him exactly clearly what your problem is. We're not. Purposely we're not. Therefore we shouldn't run to Miki Bolim. You shouldn't want to know what's going on. Hashem wants now the greatness of this generation is that we're the most simple people, the more down-to-earth people, and believing blindly to Kodesh Baruch Hu, fulfilling Torah to Hashem Elokecha. We're being hurt at the most. We have been inflicted the most. We are victims of generations of victims and Holocaust survivors and second, third generation, and we're going through personal Holocaust, and we haven't got the great depth inside, but we accept Hashem. We know what he's doing. This Hashkofer. Now I'm asking you something. If you have to, or hopefully you do, build yourself up, you be simcha v'tavlevav, you're accepting your role, you're a happy wife, you're a happy person, and you're doing your mitzvahs of bringing children to the world if they come and out, you're going on, because you worked on this hashkofer again and again and again, you have your ups and downs, but eventually, Baruch Hashem, you grow. And you accomplish the galdiga accomplishment, the galdiga level. One way of working out your life. The other way of working out your life, you would have gone to a person, supposedly, if he knows anything what he's talking about, Mekubo, and looks in his crystal ball and says, you have been a shom of this, you're a shom of this, you did in the past life this, and therefore that you think you shouldn't have children, you should suffer, and I think, and I got all your questions answered, okay? What do you want? All your questions answered. So you now live with that, you live with those answers. Now you have two people. One worked it out right here, through Ashkofer classes again and again, in a simple tmimus and fulfilling every mitzvah, every moment, the highest level of mitzvah. Tomen tir shemele kecho gosim al tachkarach rasidah, fele tekabu kol ma shevelech, accept everything Hashem is doing, just do it. And the other one, because he got his hocus pocus resolution. Who is accomplished? Of course this. So Hashem does not give us the hocus pocus guys. And those who come with us are nothing more than hocus pocus guys, because anyone who knows it wouldn't talk. Anyone who knows wouldn't talk. We had great tzaddikim in our generations, but you still knew them. Nobody went in this life. So please stop running with all these superstitious things. With Tom Shira, all they want is your money, and you never hold on to it. Stop running to all these places. You don't need it. Don't change names. You don't do things. You don't waters. Nothing. Just go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Tzmimus, and with the people Tilem, with giving a little tzedakah, and going to the doctor normally, and after that just davening, you're fulfilling your role. You with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need all these messages, all the patent. He doesn't need all this thing. And that's the medrash which we have. And once you understand it in you, automatically the same hashkofa goes to every other problem. You could comfort everyone. But you have to be a role model. You have to understand. Therefore Hashem, the Ramchal says, in Das Tvunos, before Mashiach will come, will be the highest level of tzaddik v'ra'aloi. Wherever you look, it'll be tzaddikim suffering. Tzaddikim suffering. And therefore, and who is a tzaddik today? If not the Jew who lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is willing to accept the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore we should have cautious what is happening all around. And the more we get the teret, we get the answer, and we work on it, you stop suffering already. It may be painful, but it's not suffering. You know why you're doing it. You know you're accomplishing something. And accomplishing this madrega is much more rewarding than having a physical child. Much more than having a physical child. Any other question? Yes. What's the answer? You got the answer. Again, what is body?
On the spot when you hear this.
Because you were not prepared. You were not prepared. See, you have to have in your mind you having your children by living, having. Your Isaac B'Fivit, those are your children. The Sechazal, Mitzvah Semas and Toivim, Ele Tol Deseim Shal Tzadikim. living mitzvahs and asim tovim, those are the children of righteous people. Those are children of righteous people. And once you hear this, now, the Ein Ish Ein Reborim has a totally different connotation, totally different message, the way you took it. You took it totally wrong. Ein Ish Ein Reborim is not for the woman set, it's meant set for the man. That when a man is marrying a woman, don't marry a woman, should give you a good supper, and should have a good look, so somebody woke up and then have dates with her. But look, a woman whom you're going to have children, and raise children, that's the purpose of you getting married. This is the message mostly for man, it's not for the woman. However, if you, the woman overheard it, and by the way, that's the reason the woman shouldn't hear so many Torahs, which is being told to men. Well, unfortunately, many of you ask me questions, not only in this group, when I speak to the widows, I speak to other ones, how come nobody speaks to us in such a way? Unfortunately, the Rabbonim and the Dayonim and the Mechanchem, they are catering the public. And the public is the majority. When you go to school, when you went to school, who were catered in the school? The mediocre average child. The special good child or the special weak child was not catered. Special weak, yes, a special ed today. But a special good one is totally ignored, and he became a problem child. And this is in every area, in the Semedrash, in Yeshivas, in Hasidus. All the special people are totally being ignored, and they pay a price for that. Because the message to the public is always to the average. Of course, the message for the people who have problems, why they're marrying a woman, so they have to be reminded, and then speak to the woman. Why did the woman have to speak? Which, unfortunately, very painfully, I will say it again, I'm not saying it, Chasashom, like Catholic. As much as I feel and sense your pain and your cry of not having children, you should be aware, I heard much more cries and complaints from people, from women, because they have too much children. And it's a tremendous embarrassment. And when I tell them, you know what, I give you a tape, which I speak to the childless, and then come back to me and cry that you have too many children. And then they bear the face, they don't know what to do with themselves. Very unfortunately, those Rabbonim are bombarded with toys day and night by people, please give me a head and not to have a child, I can't, give me 2 years, give me 2 years, the bargaining, like he has a special item to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he knows the plans that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do with them. So the Dayan has to give Musa to those average people, and Ishel Rabbonim, Hashem sent you down, be happy, give everything that you could give, because you don't know what you accomplished by giving, and what are you trying to postpone what you have to postpone. That's what he meant to say. So of course, the Dayan couldn't be sensitive to your personal need, because he speaks to the public, and you're always going to be victimized, because you're not the average, you're special. In this respect, you're special. Every time you're unique in this respect, but you're not unique, that you are not special, that you're underprivileged. You are the one who are really privileged, because you have the real message what a child is. You really work to have children the proper way. This is a child. And unfortunately, this cannot be spoken to the public, because with public, you have to speak a totally different language. And if it has to be separate lectures too. So you have to be already trained and have a certain antidote in you, natural antidote, that you should always, you're always going to get these bullets here and there. It's going to pinch you, and you should have this painkiller immediately to know, to understand. They don't talk to you, they talk to people who have much more problems than you. Because I want you to know, a woman who unfortunately has 4 or 5 children, he makes a declaration, that's enough. And they do it, unfortunately, and they could wear Shtreimlach, and who knows what they could wear, and who knows, they could be nice chesed people. Very, very unfortunately. They cry their heads off and they're getting old, what they do with their life. And they're much, much more in pain and agony than you are. Much, much more in agony, because they really fought Hashem. And they know what they have deprived themselves. So therefore, they have to be speaking to, and they have to be speaking totally different medication. So when you go into a drugstore, there's a lot of medication, but you need prescription. You just can't pick it up. Yeah, one is this, the other one is poison. For the same person, maybe poison. So those, it may be, but it shouldn't be poison for you. If you really know what bunny means, you have it. And you're working on it, and you know they're talking to them, and you should talk to them. By the way, one of the greatest what you could accomplish that with the way you behave and everything that you're doing, to encourage other people. But it's not important. It's not your problem. So I'm not going to share something which is not your problem. Any other question? Yes.
I mean, People fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his friend, etc. Instead of feeling that Hashem is calling for them, they feel rejected.
The best thing is when you speak to other people, it's not so much the words, what you say, it's more the role model in you, and you have to be overflowing. To influence and to inspire other people has to come from the general, from a genuine overflow of your own inspiration. If you go to a Shiva call, if you go to Chas V'Shalom to a sick man, you go to a person who lost a child, before you walk into that door, you have to make homework in you. It's a real job. You have to make homework in you. You have to build yourself up. You have your own problems, Baruch Hashem, and you know how to deal with it. And you have to bring yourself to a level that you mashpia, that you influence others. Now, the Chazon Ish said, there's two ways of to being mashpia. A bottle pours in soda into the glass. So the bottle is mashpia soda to the glass. The glass gets soda, but the bottle gets empty. That's not a proper ashpah. That's not a proper how do you give. How do you give? You keep filling the bottle without stop until it overflows. And from the overflow, fill the glass. So the bottle is always full, and the glass gets also filled. To help other people, you have to flow. You have to pour into you hashkof at a very high level to the point that you overflow. And when you overflow, you could help any person just by being a role model in a proper way. I'm not claiming that I'm overflowing, but I must say I have to do homework with me, with my personal life, in order to be able to talk to you. And also, I have children, but since what makes me able to talk to you in your problem, which is supposedly on the surface not my problem, is because my problem, the way I dealt with it, and I made peace with it, peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's many kind of problems, is the same medication for you. And when that overflows, it just comes in a different pipeline to your problems, different colors, but the same contents. It's the same ashkofa. So this is blue, this is yellow, this is green, but it comes down to the same, this is orange soda, this is lemon soda, but it's the same sweet ashkofa. So if I wouldn't have ashkofa for me, if I couldn't live my ashkofa with me, I could never comfort you and I could never give it to you. It's not words which talks. It's more the life, inspiration, aspiration, and which you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't work with yourself, you can't give it over to somebody else. So if you have to talk with somebody, you know, I give you good advice. I don't know which tape we are up to already by now. You just listen to a few tapes and work it out with your friend and be really high. You just magnetize people. You just go electrifying them. You could really help them. You have to have a positive outlook to yourself and to be in peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, automatically that helps other people too. Any other question? Yes?
What Rabbi was talking about was Mozart and Hashkafa of how a person should use his establishment to, you know, whatever his thoughts would do, that's the mitzvah.
Yeah.
In order to be the kind of mitzvah. But it seems to me from things that I've learned in terms of, you know, straight halakha, that we're not being the kind, our husbands aren't being the kind of mitzvah for if they don't produce, you know.
It's absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. Chazal tell us. Choshev Adam Lasus Mitzvah Nenas Ki Ilu Osa. A person intended to do a mitzvah. It was Nenas. He didn't let him. He said, He did it. Absolutely. Chazal tell us. Why is that not being properly emphasized? So, again, you took the wrong medication. Many people have all kinds of truths why they don't have children. They're screaming, yelling, they're listening, you have no children, you're terrible, so and so. So, you must have a child. Don't tell me you tried. You must have a child. Because they try not to have children. So, they must tell them, I must see a delivery, then I believe that you want a child. Don't give me excuses. See, here's somebody else's medicine, but don't apply it to you. You're trying? Chazal tells, if you try to do a mitzvah, not only do a mitzvah, you have the real child. Now, the story goes that once used to be a tzaddik that he used to get up every night and he used to go in a mikveh and learn the whole night and used to table himself. It was very, very cold, was shivering, and it was so cold, so freezing that he had to jump into the mikveh in order to, if not, he couldn't walk in. It was so freezing cold, it was cutting away. So it was a little dark in the mikveh. Once there was no water in the mikveh. So he jumped in and he broke his bones. He really got smashed up. So he came up and he came up back and says, now I got the biggest mikveh, biggest tefillah. This was the most beautiful tefillah I ever had in his life. Because usually you have a cholos and everything which comes with tefillah, you know, you can't deliver what you intended to do. Because there's intention of a mitzvah and there's the delivery of the mitzvah.
Right, but the fact is that if, let's say, even a woman, if he wanted to go to the temple, he would not be in the kind of mitzvah.
No. He would be mekayim the He would have been mekayim the mitzvah of tefillah. Couldn't use the mitzvah. He couldn't use it. But he would be mekayim fully the mitzvah of tefillah. 100%.
Okay, but that's
so
it would be useless.
Not useless. This is ki'ilu also.
But it's not functional.
It's, who said what is functional? Function here, function is up there. Function is up there, not here. Machshava toive, Kodesh Baruch Hu mitzarfel is chazal. The same chazal who says you must have a child, same chazal. Machshava toive, Kodesh Baruch Hu mitzarfel ma'aseh. Good intention, good deeds, good desires, good what you plan. Mitzarfel ma'aseh is attached to a deed. In the contrary, it's being known in all the sforim that when we try to do a mitzvah, and we make all the chonis, all the preparation, everything, the chon is usually much greater than the mitzvah himself. The chon, the preparation is greater than the actual mitzvah. I mean, I don't know if you understand, if you, you know, we all have beautiful chonis Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur is never as beautiful as the chonis was, as our intention were, right? So, when we deliver, we had really Yom Kippur, so we had the chonis, and we had the Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur dominates, but the Yom Kippur is the way it looks. But suppose Hashem took away the Yom Kippur, there was no Yom Kippur for whatever sense, but we have the chonis remains. The chonis, if a person, if Hashem does not give the delivery, that's the end of the mitzvah, that's accomplishment of a mitzvah. That has to be bombarded inside. This is called bonim, this is the children. Children is not what you could show up on the street. Children is what Hashem's considered as a child. Mitzvah semas and toidah shal tzadikim ilu toidah sem. Those are the children. The children, it's your intention, what you do. Every moment of life is a child. Especially when you're investing in a child, you want a child, you do all the proper things, the proper feelings, the proper, that's a mitzvah in himself. No more questions?
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kohl.com